on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written. He who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. This can be found on page 1018 in the Pew Bibles and page 1799 in the large print Bibles.
So we sit for this reading.
Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, do leave your Bible open in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let's pray together. Lord, we do find it hard to talk about money, and yet we pray you'd help us think about our responsibility. Thank you for all you give us in so many different ways, and help us to see how to live our lives under your lordship and for your glory. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've got some pictures for you this morning. Can we have the first picture, please, Chris? There's a picture of a rubbish dump, and some of the most beautiful flowers grow in the most unlikely places. It's just like some of the most vigorous courgettes and marrows grow on compost heaps, which can be a bit pongy and messy at times. Well, the background to our gospel reading is the stinking mass of false religion in the temple. Just before our gospel reading, we're told this. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." The temple, sadly, the Pharisees, there's much false religion. Hypocrisy was going on. And yet, in our gospel reading, bears a wonderful flower of a life in a tip, a rubbish tip of religiosity. And that woman in the gospel reading speaks of that to us. It's about true religion and true sacrifice. There is that false religion mentioned just before our gospel reading, just a show and going about things for pretense. And money, friends, can be both good and deceitful. In the Pardoner's Tale, Chaucer's Pardoner's Tale, there's a little comment there where one of the characters talks about money being the root of all evils. Actually, that Pauline text says the love of money is the root of all evils. Let's try and think about true sacrifice. First point. True sacrifice is done before Jesus, not before men. Verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. But Jesus is, if you like, audience watching. I had to go to Oxford yesterday for a meeting. Camilla came with me at Christ Church Oxford, and we stopped at Carfax, where there's that famous clock on St. Martin's Tower, and we had a lovely cold drink in the sun. And it's quite fun, isn't it, in the middle of Oxford to see who walks past, all nationalities. It's rather fun to see who is going by, how they're dressed, how they're behaving. Well, here's Jesus watching people. What is happening is, in the temple, there were receptacles for the offerings, the gifts. They were often called trumpets, because they're like upside-down trumpets, and they caught the offerings which were being given. And we're told that there were people coming by who were putting in their offerings. And I think the sense maybe they were throwing them in rather ostentatiously. Perhaps a clunk of a big bag of money. Perhaps there's a Palestine Express card point where you could give that way. Perhaps a huge charity gift aid check with the gift aid box ticked, of course. Verse 42, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Nothing ostentatious, just like a little 20 pence piece being flicked in twice into one of those trumpets. No chink from that. But Jesus sees. True sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ sees and notices. Have you thought that the Lord Jesus watches our bank statements? That's not a threat. That's really encouraging. He knows what's going on in our lives, where our hearts lie. I wonder, have we sorted out our giving? Perhaps there's somebody here who's joined the church in the last 2 years, has never had a moment yet to do that. Please consider doing that. Perhaps we need to do that ourselves because we've become believers in the last 18 months and we need to respond to the Lord's call on our lives. So first, true sacrifice is done before Jesus, not before men. Is that how you see your giving? Second, true sacrifice is measured by what we keep, not by what we give. Verse 43, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others. We say, Jesus, how can that be right? Your maths is wrong. Why is that right? Verse 44, they all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's interesting, if you look at the Church of England, do you know which dioceses are most generous in their parish giving? It's some of the poorest ones, actually. there's three or four poorest ones, and the giving far outweighs Oxford Diocese, Berkshire, far outweighs Surrey, and so we could go on. It's quite a sort of reprimand to us, isn't it? Well, think about Elon Musk. I looked up yesterday the Forbes real-time billionaire list and the Bloomberg billionaires list, and this last week he's been valued at $265 billion. Well done if you bought one of those special cars he's manufactured. Well, actually, a lot of money. But actually, whatever we have, the Lord sees what we have left over. He sees what we're doing with it. And a very poor homeless person can give far more, a few pounds, a £5 note, than somebody who's really wealthy and giving thousands, perhaps even millions. For some people, £1,000 is not much. For some people, £1 may seem little, but it's a lot. Jesus' perspective is very different to the world's view. I wonder, do we feel a pinch of giving? We should do, if we're Christian believers. It should be sacrifice. I love that story that was told in 2 Corinthians 8 about the church in those days who gave sacrificially. But the key text, or there's two actually, first they gave themselves to the Lord before they gave money to the Lord first. You see, giving comes from somebody being in a right relationship with God. And then also that lovely text, a Christmas text, that you know, 2 Corinthians 8, the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. We do try and be very careful stewards here in church. PCC look at the accounts. Jane talks us through them. She knows what is given by who. But it's not Jane Wills' evaluation of the giving, which is important. The key thing is what the Lord Jesus thinks about our giving. I read a story, it still moves me to think about it. United States Christian was visiting South Korea, and he was meeting some Christian believers, and there was a son and father dragging a plow. There wasn't even a cow. And these men were trying to dig up the soil to grow crops. And the American visitor found out they did have a cow, but they sold it to give to the church. And the most amazing thing he said was they still thanked God that they were able to have a cow to sell. That rebukes us, doesn't it? Because we're often so possessive and we just don't think about how so many other believers live around the world. And true sacrifice may come not just from income, but from assets as well. True sacrifice is done for Jesus, not for men. It's measured by what we keep. Have you thought about that? What we keep, not by what we give. And third, it trusts God, not money. It's trusting God, not money. Verse 44. They all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's not because it's better to give and receive, or because the gospel meets the greatest needs, spiritual needs, but actually we should be careful and think about what's left and realize we can give more. She gave all she had to live on. And when she gave everything away, she can no longer trust in it. Very telling, when I was away for a little bit on my sabbatical in East Africa, to meet very poor rural Christians who really gave everything away, and yet they rejoiced in the Lord, they had adequate to live on day by day. What are we trusting in ourselves? You can't serve God and mammon. You see, that widow's act with those two small coins is an act of devotion and dependence on God. Where does your true security lie? Is it your bank balance? Your share portfolio? The question is, where is my trust? Where is my treasure? And God wants our hearts first, not our cash. And actually, when he has our hearts, we know we can trust him. The cross, the Lord gave all for us. And we know what happened, don't we, to that man who was watching those people coming into the temple and giving. The Lord Jesus, on that first Good Friday, was nailed to a Roman cross and died in our place. That's what brings eternal life. Money can't buy eternal life. The cross can give us eternal security. And we can respond in generous service and giving. Amen. Sean, come and join us at the lectern. Come in the middle with your clip or mic. So the diocese has sorted out this very helpful giving scheme, and Sean's the expert on it, so they've asked him to explain it. And there's some paperwork we can pick up later on, isn't there?
That's right. Can people hear me? I hate being called an expert in anything, because I'm absolutely not, but I'll do my bit. Actually, one thing I am expert in is asking for money, because that's my day job. So I'm not at all embarrassed about doing that. So just to give you a bit of a sort of parochial background, if you like, to what happens in the church, we have costs and we have revenues, like any institution, and this church and the work of the parish is funded primarily by regular giving from parishioners. I mean, there are other income from the parish magazine and from lettings and things like that, but basically it's from people who give money on a regular basis. And the outgoings, yes, there's the cost of facilities, of course the cost of the new terrific church centre, the Hannon Room, but that's one part of the cost. And the other major part of the cost is obviously for the clergy and for the workers who are helping with the outreach in the community, and the giving that we give in terms of mission as well. So just taking those two points, on the revenue side, as with most things, most of the revenue comes from people who give on a regular monthly basis. And some people give more, some people give less. That's obviously up to them. But one of those things that happens in life is that people leave the community or sadly die. And those tend to be the sort of stalwarts of the giving portfolio, if you like, for the parish. And that's what's happened here in Wargrave over the last 5 years or so, is some of those people who've been very generous givers are no longer giving. And if you like, on the cost side, we've got, as I say, not just the church facility, but all the things we want to do more, which, with additional money we can do. So that's really the background, and that's why the parish giving scheme and regular giving is so important. It's the bedrock, really, of the finances of the parish. And we don't really, we don't get money from church estates or central government or anything like that. It's really from here. So people, obviously are used to giving. We all, get the emails every day, probably, for somebody's charity, Just Giving website or whatever. And that's great. So a one-off donation is fantastic. It helps, giving into the plate or whatever it might be, that helps. But really, it's the monthly regular giving that does the trick. And on top of that, as anybody who's paying income tax knows, because you always have to tick the gift aid box, that gives an extra 25%. Now, we've had, a giving scheme in the past. It's a bit clunky, to be honest with you, in terms of, you have to set up a standing order, and then Richard Lloyd has done all the paperwork on claiming it back. But what the Church of England has done on a
UK-wide basis, in fact, is to set up a central scheme which has been going for a few years now, and in fact during the pandemic they put it all online, and it's actually quite good. It's a good scheme. The people as a sort of local coordinator, I get to speak to them from time to time. They're really efficient, really helpful. When we've had a few people who've sort of come to me with particular queries, or it doesn't work for them, or they've got IT challenges like I have, the people there at the parish giving scheme have sorted it all out. So that's good, because it makes my life easy. So basically, the name of the game is for people to join the monthly giving parish giving scheme. And in fact, we've been getting this going. Well, I joined maybe 2 years ago, so sort of like the first, the alpha guinea pig, as it were. Is that a thing? And have been on it maybe a couple of years now. Some people joined since then, and we had a bit of a push at the beginning of the year. So we've maybe got 50 individuals and families on the scheme. So if you've done that, thank you very much. If you also took the opportunity to increase the amount you were giving, or, and this is another important point, index link it, and everybody knows about the cost of living crisis, but it's one of those things that when you set a giving amount at whatever it might be, £10 or whatever, inflation erodes it over time, and that's another way in which our revenues have sort of eroded as inflation has happened. So you have the option of either index linking it or not. So everybody who's done that, thank you very much for doing that. If you haven't, and as John said, some people, it just hasn't sort of occurred to them, or they think, if I just give in the plate when I'm here, that's fine. But so if you haven't up to now been a regular giving, now is really a really good time to start at whatever level you think is appropriate, and what as we heard, is the sacrifice that you're able to make and can afford to make. So now is a great time to start. The terrific thing about the scheme is, as I say, it's super duper in that, and I was just looking at it this morning, you get an email account, you get a log on, and you can then change the amount up or down depending on your circumstances. So if you've a bit overdone it and whatever, the boiler's gone, you could adjust it down, you do better and you want to put it up, you can do that whenever you like. Every month, if you wish. Well, that's probably a bit overdoing it. So it's a very easy to administer scheme, and you don't have to be frightened that you're somehow locking yourself into an eternity of giving. That's not probably very biblical, is it?
Probably not.
No, because when we get to heaven, it's different. And I've lost the thread. And the other thing is, if you're not that IT savvy, and not everybody is, you can do it with a form as well. And there's these lovely people at the end of the phone who will also talk it through. So if you needed to change the amounts, you can just ring them up and talk it through with them. So, what could be easier than that? So, as I say, the main thing is if you join the scheme, thank you very much. You've made everybody's administrative life much easier. If you're thinking about reviewing the amount you've given, and as I say, for a lot of people they've just gone in and therefore they probably at that time did indeed renew the amount, and for some people they were able to increase it. So that was great, thank you very much. But for those of you who haven't yet given on a regular basis, now is really good time to start to do that at whatever level is appropriate. And what I've done is I've got a letter, a quite small print, because as you know, people like to get a lot of stuff onto one page, which gives the details of it. And I've left a few copies, maybe 40, 50 copies, in the expectation of at least 40, 50 people who want to take the plunge and join it who haven't yet. And they're at the back there. And that gives you all the details, the website, my home phone number, home email address, probably even my wife's work number, in case you need to speak to her as well for advice, or you want to give feedback on my over-the-top approach. So there we go. What could be easier than that? Look forward to it. And I'll be in the church centre if anybody any questions on it. There we go. That's it. Thank you.
Sean, thank you. Do speak to Sean about it, because it's often easier to have a face-to-face conversation for any queries you have. So please take the opportunity to grab one of those letters and speak to Sean if you'd like to. And